coming up.
I'm not going to let you do this.
The runny yolk's the best bit.
I think that's false.
They said that they had to check that I was a real person.
The nuggets of information that the director would have told me that you don't want to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you say that?
Like it'd fall into my trap.
You're thinking smooth drive, smooth voice.
Really wish you hadn't said that.
If you can visualize it, it sounds like it.
Pressure I didn't need.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice.
Hello.
It's my co-host.
Hello. This is Sam Boffin, my co-host.
Hello. So welcome to How Do You Say That, our little corner of the podsphere. Is that a term?
Is it? It is now. Right. We're about to embark on our voiceover journey, looking at scripts, making some choices and discovering how wonderfully different we all are.
Because, as we know, there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways.
So, Sam, true or false, I've only ever burnt the bottom of a pan like a saucepan once, but it was so bad I had to throw the pan away. True or false?
Wow, I think that's false.
It's actually true. No, I did once burn the bottom of a pan so badly I couldn't save it.
Wow.
I'm normally quite a good cook, but not that
day. I was going to say, you know, that's okay. Well, actually, on a sort of, you know, boiling pan theme, I love boiled eggs, but only very hard boiled eggs because I don't like the runny stuff. Is that true or false?
But the runny yolk's the best bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wow.
Is for me. I think that's false. Surely everyone thinks the runny yolk is the best bit.
You're right. Although, no, a couple of my kids will not eat. And
really?
They're not kids. They're in their 20s, so it's not like they're tiny kids or anything. So, yeah, they only like hard-boiled eggs. Only ever have done. But anyway,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we also have our very special guest, voice actor Shiraz Engineer. Hello, Shiraz. Welcome to How Do You Say That?
Hello. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you along. Whereabouts are you geographically talking to us from?
Geographically, Mark, I'm here from Madrid. I'm dialing in from Madrid.
Lovely. Yes. Excellent. We've had quite a lot of international dialing in recently, which is all good. So, Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Shiraz, shall we?
Okay. Shiraz is a multi-award nominated voiceover artist, originally from London, but as we've just discovered, now lives in Madrid. She has been performing with her voice since she was 9 after taking speech and drama lessons, the true beginning of her voiceover training. So fast forward to now, where she has been doing VO professionally for just shy of 3 years.
Well, in her short career so far, she's worked with very high-profile names such as Centre Parcs, Kia Canada and Visa. She's a regular ad voice on global radio and has dabbled in video gaming, audio drama and animation VO, starring as the voice of Pink Cat Shima Prime on popular animation YouTube channel Super Planet Dolan.
Woo.
Shiraz loves cooking, watching far too much TV, oh, don't we all, and being an active member of her local Amdram Society. Well, welcome along, Shiraz. Have you got a fun fact for us?
I do have a fun fact, and it's the fun fact that I tell everyone, and it's very difficult to top, but it is how you interpret it. My fun fact is that I am probably related to Freddie Mercury.
Oh, my word. I love that. Go on, tell us the detail.
Yes, tell us the detail. How did you find that?
So essentially, I mean, usually if I'm not going to meet the other person again, I probably say I'm related to Freddie Mercury.
Of course.
But the probably is because we are both Parsi Zoroastrians and we are of a very small ethnic community called Parsis. Lots of people are related. Basically, everyone's related. And actually, the truth is that my great-great-aunt and his great-aunt were best friends like sisters. So that is why I say that I'm probably related to Freddie Mercury. And I call him Uncle Freddie. So.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I want to break free now. Let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
So this is a sweet little script that I brought along. It feels very seasonal, actually.
Yeah, winter root crops. Is it about farming? Is it a... What is it?
It's really a kind of museum / audio guide. So this is a garden which is part of a, it isn't really a stately home, but let's go with that. It's part of it's part of a tourist attraction. And it's got this very sort of ancient garden that is attached to it. And it is, they've created a sort of farm, a working farm around it.
I actually thought it was, it's like a sleep story. I thought it was just this wonderful thing that I could fall asleep to listening to these lovely vegetables in a garden.
In the same way as I fall asleep to Gardener's Question Time.
Well, exactly. It's a bit like that, except on an app. Mm. You know, it's all modernised. The sort of thing my mum would listen to.
It's explaining how the garden works, this ancient garden that they've renovated, basically.
And you're definitely talking directly to the visitors.
Right. Yes, I am. So any other questions?
No, I think
I've got an idea in my brain about how to do it. So I'll go first, Shiraz, and then okay. You can have a go, and then we'll all chat about it.
Fabulous.
Right, okay. The second cycle involves the winter root crops, then the legumes with their nitrogen-fixing roots. Next come the onion family, and finally a miscellaneous bunch of spinach, chard and oddities like okra and Chinese artichoke. Once the cycle is complete, there's another round of double digging with organic matter and the potatoes are planted once again. Not all crops take part in this merry dance. Perennials such as asparagus and artichokes occupy plots for an extended period. Rhubarb is the same, though easier to spot by its terracotta forces.
I liked it. I was imagining myself walking around this garden and looking around. I would like a little bit of I'd like to hear a little bit of a change on not all crops take part in this merry dance.
fair.
Because there's a list of a lot of different types of vegetables, but I want to know who's different.
What I would say is that it was a little straight.
Okay. And there was me trying to go for friendly.
No, you were friendly. You weren't unfriendly at all. So if I now tell you that a lot of people that come through their gates are students and kids from schools.
Oh, I see. Yes, that does make more sense. Yes. So, yes, yeah, okay. Yes, I would have done it a slightly different way. Yes.
I deliberately keep these bits of information back from you, Mark.
The nuggets of information that the director would have told me that you don't want to. Yeah.
You're right. Uh-huh. Yeah. I did fall into that trap.
I did fall into the trap. Absolutely right. Yeah, Shiraz, does that change your way of thinking about it now?
Oh, yeah, that's lovely clues. That's very helpful.
We make assumptions. We always make assumptions about things. I do it all the time. So unless somebody is literally saying, oh, incidentally, this is who you're speaking to.
Yes.
You go for the clearest assumption.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And also it's nice that we all had our own different assumptions about it.
Well, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, which is so interesting. We visualised it in a very different way.
Shiraz, would you like a go?
Ooh, let's do it. Okay. The second cycle involves the winter root crops, then the legumes with their nitrogen-fixing roots. Next come the onion family, and finally a miscellaneous bunch of spinach, chard and oddities like okra and Chinese artichoke. Once the cycle is complete, there's another round of double digging with organic matter, and the potatoes are planted once again. Not all crops take part in this merry dance. Perennials such as asparagus and artichokes occupy plots for an extended period. Rhubarb is the same, though easier to spot by its terracotta forces.
Nice. Less conversational, I found there. And you did do a very different not all crops take part in this merry dance, as you had suggested. Yeah. I wondered if it wasn't maybe a little light, but I think you were heading that way because you realised that there was a younger audience to it.
Yeah, I did. I just sort of imagined them sort of looking at this video and trying to, you know, remain engaged and that sort of thing. So I thought, oh, let's try and add a bit of a journey to this.
And it did. Yeah. It kind of put it more into, I want to say, teacher mode slightly.
Yeah, well, I do.
That's a good idea to say.
I do teach off and on as well, so that's probably where
that
came from.
There you go. Okay, okay.
No, nice. I mean, I like the lightness, I have to say. Mm-hmm. I always hesitate to say this when it's my one. I would have gone more playful. I think I went more playful. Let's see what I do. It'll come out the way it comes out. But so have a bit of fun with it, I think. I absolutely loved the way you did it, Shiraz. The kind of lightness and it was very relatable, very easy, very clear. You know, I totally followed that journey of of the winter root crops. So I loved that about it.
Yeah,
and I think when you're walking round as well, when you're listening, you know, under headphones, it had a lovely intimate feel as well.
Yes, it was quite an intimate feel, yeah.
Yeah, no, lovely.
Well, Sam, let us know what you did. Okay. What did the client want?
Indeed. Okay. The second cycle involves the winter root crops, then the legumes with their nitrogen-fixing roots. Next come the onion family, and finally, a miscellaneous bunch of spinach, chard, and oddities like okra and Chinese artichoke. Once the cycle is complete, there's another round of double digging with organic matter, and the potatoes are planted once again. Not all crops take part in this merry dance. Perennials such as asparagus and artichokes occupy plots for an extended period. Rhubarb is the same, though easier to spot by its terracotta forces.
Yeah, it was quite like that. And it suddenly made me think, why have they written a word like miscellaneous in there if they're working for a younger audience?
When I say younger, I'm not talking eight. I'm talking, you know, sixth formers. I'm talking sort of 14, 15, 16 and above.
It was slightly quicker than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And that was quite nice because there's obviously quite a lot to get through.
Yes, it's a very long script. It was very long.
I thought it was a little similar to mine, actually. And I thought it was exactly how I would like to hear it. So I don't think I have any notes.
So, well, that's always good, Sam, isn't it? It's like the lightness was definitely there. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you were going to do lighter, well, you could even maybe go lighter, I think. If it's because you asked me to go lighter, and I thought maybe you could also go lighter. But how exactly? How light exactly do you want to go?
I think it was more about the speed and the sort of subtext, the playfulness. But no, you did do a brilliant read, you know, so yeah.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I know a lot about double digging because I listened to Gardner's Question Time. So that's the thing that interested me. But it is worthwhile remembering that we are working on real scripts, but we've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. While we're on the subject of scripts, though, you can find both of the ones we're using today in the show notes of this episode.
Shiraz, tell us a little bit about the script that you've brought along.
Yeah.
They were after a very sort of, it's not a hard sell, but you do want to get the information in there. We wanted something to really draw the listener in. And if you can imagine, you know, a car along a country road somewhere.
I can, yes.
You know, maybe with mountains in the background, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
And I'm thinking quite expensive footage.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It could be that. I mean, it's not up there with luxury, but it's up there with a sort of... you really want to sort of convey that this is going to be easy. Getting this car and being with this car is going to be easy, especially for the time of year that we're coming up to. So it's very seasonal, you know.
And is it a 30-seconder, a 40-seconder, or was there less pressure on time for this?
This was a 30-second. I took out one line.
Okay.
So it's slightly shorter than a 30-second, but it was down as a 30-second.
That's interesting because there's quite a lot of words there for a 30-second.
Oh, now this is a very interesting thing because I tend to ignore, in an audition scenario, I tend to take that duration with a bit of a pinch of salt.
Mm-hmm.
I note if it's quick to get into a 30, obviously I try and do it to time.
Yeah.
And then if I'm just out, then obviously I try and get it in the 30. But if it's way out, at that point, I don't try and squeeze it into a 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we're looking for that read you're so good at, Sam, that kind of like warm, really kind of smooth type of, you're thinking smooth drive, smooth voice.
Yeah. Really wish you hadn't said that before I launched into it. That's now pressure I didn't need.
Okay. No, it's not meant pressure. It's just buoying you up for what you do best.
Okay, right. When there's electricity in the autumn air, it's time to find your best drive in our latest EV. Breeze down country roads and get lost in the colourful leaves with up to 550 km in an all-electric range. Go from 10 to 80% charge in the time it takes to finish that warm latte. Conquer roads filled with mud and unexpected snow thanks to our all-wheel drive. Visit our website for details.
I mean, we certainly got the smoothness there. Mm. I would have said kilometres, I think, rather than KM, even though it's KM in the script. I think a director would have come back and said, can we have kilometres? And I would say to them, rather pointedly, could you write it for as a word in the script, do you think?
Yes, but that's my lack of research. I should have done that.
And the only other thing that I'm going to argue the toss about, because you know what I'm like, is latte versus latte. You said latte, I would go latte.
Are both acceptable?
Italians would not agree.
No, Italians wouldn't agree, but in Britain, I think it's a tough one, that.
Well, this is it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I thought the warmth of it and the speed of it was absolutely right. And yeah, both of those issues would have been taken out in a second take.
This is so stupid. I don't drink lattes. and so I've never had to say that word out loud.
Wow,
okay. Coffees with milk.
I wouldn't drink all of that milk.
You need to come to coffee shops more often with me and buy me.
I do,
the skinny latte. That's
but again, it's a stupid excuse. I can't just do things that are within my orbit. That's nonsense.
Well, interesting. But interesting. What did you think, Shiraz? What did you think of Sam's Read? Did it bring you what you wanted?
I thought it was lovely. I thought that there were a couple of words that landed a little heavier. So breeze was a bit heavy. I would have liked to hear that a bit lighter. So really thinking about that car welding down these roads, breeze, you know, just like it's a breeze. This car is light. It can take the corners. It's, you know, adaptable and get lost in the colourful leaves. So I've got this image of these leaves coming up and poofing up into the air. And
and
it's just that take us along that road with your sort of cadence. And so, but I thought the speed and the energy was lovely.
It sounds to me like you mean you wish it could have been a little bit more wistful, perhaps.
Just maybe take our time a little bit more, just enjoy those words like breeze.
Well, all right, I'm gonna try and make it slightly more wistful then.
Okay.
But in a 30, that's tough. Right, okay. When there's electricity in the autumn air, it's time to find your best drive in our latest EV. Breeze down country roads and get lost in the colourful leaves with up to 550 kilometres in all-electric range. Go from a 10 to 80% charge in the time it takes to finish that warm latte. Conquer roads filled with mud and unexpected snow thanks to our all-wheel drive. Visit our website for details.
I liked it. It had so much colour to it. And it sounded like you really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I love the different rhythms you brought to it. And you've got that's such a warm read, Mark. Really lovely.
That was really nice. And I really got into it during it as well.
Yeah, I took it mid-palate because I needed not to be at the very front of my mouth with that. So I find that I can warm it up by going mid-palate.
Oh, I like that. Mid-palate.
That's the way I describe it. I don't think that's necessarily the way that the pros would.
I think it's a really nice way of describing it, actually, because that harks back to, to paint colours. It's lovely. Yeah. I might steal that. I like it.
Well, I'm glad it worked. Mm. I'm glad it worked. I could see when I had the word wistful in my mind after we talked about it, I could see the breezing down the road and getting lost in the leaves. And I think you're so right, Sam, when you always say, if you can visualise it, it sounds like it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I could hear that.
I don't know how long that was. It felt longer than 30, that, for me.
But then also, they often write scripts that they think are 30 that are not actually 30.
Well, it's very easy. Just write less than 75 words.
Well, indeed.
Don't have abbreviations like 550. Write 550.
150.
Yes. They have so many. The clients have so many people to please. And that's the trouble, is that, you know, one section of people want XYZ in it. Somebody else wants XYZ. Mm-hmm. So they've got all these things that they're juggling. So I do have huge sympathy for them.
Script by committee.
Well, they always aren't they?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Always are. Yeah. Your 75 words is a really good...
So if people don't know about writing, 75 words maximum for 30 seconds is absolutely where you want to aim. Mm. Maximum. Mm. Preferably 60.
Preferably
so you've got a bit of space with it.
But, absolutely.
Right, Shiraz, I'd love to hear what you did with it.
Okay, well, let's go. When there's electricity in the autumn air, it's time to find your best drive in our latest EV. Breeze down country roads and get lost in the colourful leaves with up to 550 kilometres in all-electric range. Go from a 10 to 80% charge in the time it takes to finish that warm latte. Conquer roads filled with mud and unexpected snow, thanks to our all-wheel drive. Visit our website for details.
Lovely.
The only thing I thought was, maybe as you reached the end of the sentence, you were using an up cadence at the end of the sentence, which almost, I can see exactly why you were doing it, but somewhere it didn't sit entirely right with me.
It can give a real sense of movement, though, can't it? When you're, because actually, I think it's far better when you do that than always ending on a down.
Yes, very much so. Yep.
I mean, obviously, it is the language itself and what you're saying that leads you to go up, down, or somewhere in the middle. But being aware of that rhythm I mean, I didn't notice that, I have to confess. There was a real lightness and sense of, of movement in that I liked. A sense of delicate energy, really.
That's a really good way of putting it, because actually the delicate energy took it, and I think you managed it within 30 seconds, but it didn't feel fast.
Great
key of that.
Can't believe he put a stopwatch over you, Shiraz. That's sneaky.
Sometimes just can't help myself.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, okay, it's time for the wild card section of the show. So, Shiraz, can you choose a script and give one of us a new direction with it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I would like Mark to do the car one.
Right.
As Santa Claus.
Ooh, that he loves.
I love Santa, and I've already done a bit of Santa this year already.
Oh, there you go.
Have you got your bells handy?
There they come.
Keep them close.
He loves a bit of Santa action.
Oh my God, look at that. Oh, that's hilarious.
We're going to see them.
Santa's doing EV cars. You can see the bells.
Oh my God. So we're thinking sort of like Lapland Automotive.
Lapland Automotive. Yes, it's good. All right. Okay. This way. Whoa there, Rudolph. When there's electricity in the autumn air, it's time to find your best drive in our latest EV. Breeze down the country roads and get lost in the colourful leaves. Up to 550 kilometres in all-electric range. You can go from 10 to 80% charge in the time it takes to finish that warm latte. Conquer the roads filled with mud and unexpected snow thanks to our all-wheel drive. Visit our website for details. Rudolph, do you think you can get me one of these? Oh.
Beautiful.
Oh, someone's definitely getting a car for Christmas.
Oh, I hope so. That would be lovely. I'm just putting the bells down. It's like,
honestly, I can't get enough of you and Santa. I love it.
Brilliant.
It's available to any client that wants it. There you go.
I'm so excited that you asked him to do that, Shiraz.
I'm very excited.
It's always a pleasure to hear that.
Shiraz, it means the bar has been set, though, and you get to go next.
I would like you to be a presenter on Dragon's Den or Shark Tank, if we're for our US listeners. You realise mid-pitch that your invention already exists. So you're confident at the start, but midway through, you suddenly realise that it already exists. And I'd like you to do your script.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm a nervous little Nelly standing in front of the dragons.
You might be super confident, Nelly.
Super confident and then just not. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. When there's electricity in the autumn air, it's time to find your best drive in our latest EV. Breeze down country roads and get lost in the colourful leaves with up to 550 kilometres in all electric range. Go from a 10 to 80% charge in the time it takes to finish that warm latte. Conquer roads filled with mud and unexpected snow thanks to our all-wheel drive. Visit our website for details.
I love that. I heard the full moment that the realisation hit that it already existed. But then I heard the moment when you hit conquer road, you went, balls, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to style this one out.
Basically, I can't do anything to write now, so I'm just going to try and trick them into thinking that this is a new invention.
I loved it. And then you came back to, I don't know what even the point to send them to the website is. I love that. Okay.
I'm busted. If they visit the website, I'm cooked.
I thought that was really lovely.
I could absolutely
see what you were doing. Brilliant stuff. Brilliant. Right, Sam, your turn on the wild card then. And because we haven't done it, I'm going to take you back to your script, the winter root crops. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would like you to be a slug, a talking slug, obviously. But I want you to imagine that these are the tastiest winter root crops that you've ever had. So you might be munching your way, but you know that those gardeners, they don't like you.
No, they don't. They don't. But I like me and my root crops. Okay, let's have a look.
And your slimy trail.
Okay.
The second cycle involves the winter root crops. Yum, 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 this way. Then the legumes with their nitrogen-fixing roots. Next come the onion family, and finally a miscellaneous bunch of spinach, chard, and what it is like, Okan Chinese artichoke. Well, once the cycle is complete, there's another round of double digging. Lovely organic matter when the potatoes are planted once again. Not all crops take part in this merry dance. Perennials such as asparagus and artichokes occupy plots for an extended period. Rhubarb is the same. Easier to spot, but...
Oh, you forced yourself out of it at that point. That's so good. So good, Sam.
God, you held on for so long.
I just lost it because you laughed.
That was brilliant.
Oh, that was unbelievable. You lost it so long through that. I could feel it. I could see you, like, and the way you stopped just before Not All Crops realizing that they weren't there. Like, it was like you were so disappointed that there were things that you, oh, now you're just going to have to imagine eating them.
Oh, God.
I wonder if we encouraged you to put the burp in by the fact that we were enjoying it that much.
Maybe, but I quite like to put a burp in.
Yes, it was great.
A sluggy burp.
Yes, a sluggy burp.
Oh, that's just wow.
Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself at these characters and any other ones. And if you want to see what we all look like in our booths, maybe as a slug.
Maybe you don't want to see that, actually. But
Do check out How Do You Say That on TikTok or Instagram, because we've got some fun little shorts running at the moment as well.
Yes, and they're probably on Facebook and YouTube as well.
Oh, they will be.
They'll be up there. So, Shiraz, after nearly 3 years in the voiceover industry, what advice would you give to new voices in terms of finding their way through all the information that's out there?
I think my biggest bit of advice for anyone starting out is just shut up and listen. That's really the thing that I would say. I would say shut up and listen to all the podcasts you can. Get your hands on all of them. Listen to all the podcasts. Join the groups, but don't say anything. Just read. Read, read, read. You find out a lot about things like non-broadcast and broadcast. You find a lot about rates and usage, and you just sit there and absorb. So then by the time it comes to actually jumping in, you have already done your research and you've studied. You've studied the industry, because we can all have as much talent as we want. But if you don't apply that talent in the right way, get coaching and get your demos professionally produced. You can find your way. You can do it your own way, depending on your background. But you've got to get those two locked in, and you've got to listen to other people. Other people who have been in the industry far longer than you. And the wonderful thing is that our business and our industry and people in it are so warm and welcoming and wonderful.
True, yes.
That we just see new people and we go, come on, let me give you this bit of advice.
Mm.
And of course, Sam, you would agree, coaching never stops, does it? This is a job where you just have to keep learning.
There is never, well, as we discuss here every week, there's never one way to do something, and there are always new things that you can take on board. But so you would say, Shiraz, that I'm guessing that the ability to use your voice well is as important as the ability to run your business part side of it as well, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like so many people have talent by the bags and like bagful, but if you don't know how to apply that, and if you don't know how to run the business side of it, you are going to falter. Then you'll get discouraged and then you'll drop out. But the key to that is not necessarily doing the same things over and over again. That's not what we mean by consistency. we also need to be able to identify and evaluate when something is not working. And I think that is also the second piece of the puzzle, not so much for beginners, but for those who are established. Those who have been doing it for a long time, but have hit a wall. We have to be able to evaluate and pivot and see, okay, what is this problem? How do I get help with this? Okay, I'm going to go to this person who has got a proven track record of unlocking this. So you go, you pay for their time, and you can then unlock what is not going right.
What they don't tell you, Shiraz, further down in your career is it isn't just one wall you hit. It's multiple walls at different times. And so you have to be able to negotiate and withstand the knocks, I think.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, the knocks, we all talk about the knocks and we all have our own ways of dealing with it. But really, we have to make sure that we ask for help and that we identify those things that are not working. We cannot simply keep doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. The quicker that you identify an issue and solve it, the quicker, the faster you will progress.
Yes, and creating those communities of people around you. If you've got a trusted community of people who are sort of going through the same things that you're going through, that can be incredibly useful because then there's no, if it's a small enough community, there's no shame or no embarrassment in checking in with them. I think that that can be really useful.
Yeah. And it's not just useful, it's actually essential. I would say really try and tap into that. Once you've learned everything and once you've found your coach and you're kind of on your way, really surround yourself with those people. And I found immense joy and happiness in being welcomed into this community of voiceovers when I haven't really been at it that long. And of course, I'm also on the back foot geographically. So I'm a British voiceover in Madrid, but I made sure that I just went onto Instagram, aggressively added loads of people, introduced myself, had struck up organic conversations, and then suddenly you find you have a beautiful community. So when you go to things like One Voice and Vox, you already know everyone. It's great.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really good advice. Shiraz, thank you so much for taking part. A reminder that all of Shiraz Engineer's details can be found in the show notes of this episode.
And of course, the scripts are there too. And do check out our TikTok and Instagram accounts because you can share the love.
You can. And that's it for this week. Thanks again to Shiraz Engineer. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
How do you say that? How do you say that?